Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Agribusiness Hour. It's show 674. That's 674 original It's Your Business series. Agriculture, consumers, those on the farm. We're going to bring it all together. Here are the agribusiness headlines for this hour. Later in the hour, Secretary of Agriculture Lucas Lynch, just back from the South Dakota-China trip, explains the importance of what they found and how it might help our state. He may not know what time it is, having just got back. Ryan Molitor from Raven talks about some ag features that control and improve virtually every farming function with ease. And Rock Nelson, who handles international trade, joins Ryan at the desk. Employment over the last 2 weeks. Rob Lear explains the successes of sessions in Sioux Falls, Aberdeen over the weekend, in Rapid City and Pierre, before that, North Dakota. We'll check the trends with Scott Verilek, Coima Kamig, Craig Marquardt at Vanna Mortgage, and Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones. Rocky Bohr, Plains Commerce Bank, along with Roger and Travis Starks from Holt McDowell. We'll have reports. We'll talk weather with them and with Rick Shields, our Midwest Communication Farm Director. But as always, it is with those on the farm and those in broadcasting, weather comes first. It was just a week ago that little old Sioux Falls, South Dakota, got wind from my friends at KSFY that took issue with some irate viewers. Upset when the man, Sean Cable, sitting right across the stage from me, interrupted the final moments of an ABC series with a tornado bearing down in Iowa. The storm had a history, and it lived up to that warning. After a number of calls, many irate, your co-host, Nancy Nave Brown, basically went off on the value of saving lives and information that needed immediate release. Sean joins us this morning. Nancy is still missing in action, answering the Facebook.
She is. She's busy. Busy all the time.
Does she wear a mask now to hide her identity when she goes out in public?
No, she is a rock star. And I told her, I said, because none of that was planned. And I told her, I said, you are going to be the superhero of every meteorologist in the country because everybody gets it. They all, every weather person gets railed on when they interrupt. And we only do it because we're saving lives and that people's lives are in danger. I held off as long as I could on Sunday night, but as soon as I got a report that there was a tornado on the ground headed toward people's houses, and I saw what I saw on the radar, which was pretty horrific as well, but there's no way I could not have gone on.
One of the things that you did bring to light was a lady who lost part of her dairy operation in Iowa. And that was quite the storm over near Hospers and that particular area that evening that you were tracking, and it had a history, which meant at that point, whether it was 2 minutes, what was the name of the show that you interrupted?
Once Upon a Time, and it was the season finale. And I'll be honest, I really wasn't paying that much attention to what was on TV. I mean, at that point, that was the least of my concerns. It was the fact that there was this tornado on the ground. And the woman's name, her name is Deb Davlar, and she actually lives in Rock Valley. Her daughter and her son-in-law have a dairy operation by Hospers, and she called them and said, I'm watching TV. They're on. There's a tornado headed right for you. They got to the basement in time. Their house was, for the most part, okay, but a good chunk of their dairy operation got ripped up. They lost a lot of buildings, and hard to believe, out of 2,000 dairy cows, they only lost about 15 to 20, but did some pretty considerable damage to the buildings on their farm.
All right. People will want to know how you decide when to break in.
You know, it used to be that we would go on for a tornado warning and stay on the air, but now the technology is to the point where we don't always know for sure, but with storm chasers that we have in the field, most of the time we know if a storm cell with a tornado warning actually has a tornado on the ground. Not all the time, but if, you know, there are times where it may be still in the development process, it may not be on the ground, we may break in for a while and then go back to programming. I go on, if there is a tornado confirmed that's on the ground or one that's going to be on the ground soon, and there are people in the path. And so if there's a chance at all that someone could be hit by that tornado, I'm going to be on the air.
Agriculture in South Dakota is a $21 billion industry, not chump change. But you share a forecast for those in Iowa, like we did with the storm,
right,
and Minnesota as well. How important is weather in your mindset for those with agricultural interests?
My family farms. We ran a series of promo spots back in the fall of me and the combine. And somebody said, is that real? Or I said, that's absolutely real. I'm in the planter in the spring and in the combine in the fall, and I'm with it 24 hours a day. And weather is one of the most important things, because farmers live and die by the weather. You know, if it doesn't rain, I mean, you're hosed. If you don't get any rain, your crops don't grow. I mean, that's a big deal. Hail. I mean, hail can knock out an entire farm in 2 minutes. You know, weather is one of the most important things. And unfortunately, it's a variable that we have no control over.
Sean Cable, KSFY. And I'm sure you know by now that he was involved. Nancy was involved. They were concerned about people being involved with the tornadoes themselves. One of the things I've seen done, having been a part of television around the country, is that if you are in the last 2 minutes of Heidi, or if you're in the last 2 minutes of something else, that you pre-record that 2 minute segment or 3 minute segment, if it is important. And you got your definition is an excellent definition that people would understand, that maybe you show it in the newscast. Say, we'll show that a little bit later on. But again, when you're in the middle of that, you're not thinking that way. But a lot of stations have now gone to a policy, if it's that kind of a Dallas close,
right,
or a shoot 'em up,
right,
that you would have. And this wasn't Dallas, trust me.
No, it was not Dallas. You know, and that would be great. There are so many nowadays, there are so many licensing issues, and getting permission to re-air. And if you block out the entire program, it's easier than just to re-air a portion of it.
Right.
And so there is so much fine-tuning and permission that you have to get from the network and stuff that it almost isn't possible. The beauty of it is, though, is that these shows are online an hour later, or, you know, the next morning at the latest. So you can go back and watch it online.
Well, we're going to have a jury of your peers this morning help decide how you did it.
All right.
We've got Roger and Travis Starks here from Holt McDowell, sponsors of the iGrow.org site. They provide coverage for farmers and their buildings. Gentlemen, good to have you with us. How do you feel about what Sean did on cutting into a program for tornado news that affected people?
Is life safety. And once upon a time will be once upon a time. So.
Well, and I didn't actually know people watched programming when it was live anymore. I thought everyone watched on demand.
DVR, right?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that was an issue anymore. So this is all news to me, truly.
See, for me, if someone missed that last 3 minutes of a show, I can live with that because they can log on and watch it tomorrow. If someone would have died because I decided to wait 5 minutes for that show to end and that person didn't get the word, if Deb wouldn't have watched, if Deb wouldn't have called her family, they wouldn't have known. If someone would have died, I couldn't live with myself.
Well, and we had clients who were impacted by that storm. We had cooperatives that had lost equipment, lost property. So it was one of those things where you provide a service to them, which is, I mean, to their employees, to the management of that facility. That's very important. That needs to happen.
There's, growing up on the farm, there's two times that you listen to the radio, especially. One was the commodity markets. And you had to keep your mouth shut when those were on, no matter what. And Dad always planned coming into the house for lunch when the commodity markets were on. And number two was when the weather was on. And I remember some of those marvelous old deals with Dave Dedrick and some of those.
Right.
They were just screeching deals that got your attention. And that's when you didn't carry a phone or anything.
Right.
But yeah, the weather, commodities, two things you always did. And how to get out of church on Sunday. Those are really the three things.
All right, we're giving him an A on that, but let me go one step further with you guys. We're going to do the same thing with Rocky Boer from Plains Commerce. What do you want out of your meteorologist as far as weather coverage, ongoing weather, concerns about agriculture, that perhaps Sean, being a farmer, probably has already thought about it, but it doesn't hurt to re-echo it.
You know, the warning deals are good, but I like trends. I think we need to develop trends more than anything and get an idea of trending about where things are going to be. And they're usually pretty good. I mean, if they were in the major leagues, they'd probably be in the bottom half of the hitting. No.
Well, let me tell you this. As far as trends go, I mean, a lot of that, when we're forecasting, we're looking at stuff that hasn't even evolved or hasn't even developed yet. And so a lot of times it's basically just putting together climatological, historical information to try to figure out, where things are headed and where things are going. But I do agree with you that is good.
And one of the things that we use that information for, because we'll see certain insurance companies move in and out of regions based on, what the hail forecast might look like for that coming summer. I mean, we've seen some of them leave Western South Dakota. So the information that you provide is key for us, because then we need to go out and make sure that our clients have coverage.
Right.
So we might have to go to a different insurance company that maybe has not sustained such huge losses in those areas to help fill in the gaps.
And farmers need you terribly because of the seasonality of this business. I mean, it isn't like you get a second and third chance.
Right.
It's really you get one chance to do it right, and then after that you're dependent upon crop insurance or whatever it is, and really everybody is better off, and they know it, of growing that crop. So,
all right, let's turn the corner a little bit before we get over to Rocky. Holt University, maybe add a course on meteorology to that university.
That's really not a bad thought. I mean, it's really a good thought, and it isn't just production agriculture that needs meteorology. There's a large portion of the deal out there that needs to understand it more, and believe it or not, some of the things like fairs and promoters and some of those people really use your information, because one of the largest policies we write is rain insurance. We do a lot of...
Right. And I think, too, we're spilling a little bit over from the meteorological aspect. The meteorology is the day-to-day forecasting of the weather, and it kind of bridging almost into more of a climatology sort of a thing, where we are talking of more long-range trends and seasonal forecasts and that sort of a thing.
An interesting thing about South Dakota, and we bring people, we have to deal with people from New York and California, and they don't understand wind. And wind is the major thing here. And when I show them we're using a cement block on a log chain for a directional deal for wind, then they understand that we do have wind and we do have things here. But wind is a huge issue. That it's probably our biggest claims producer is wind.
How do they reach you guys at Holt University and on the road?
We'll raise our hand.
Give us a...
Well, it's a little hard to see on television, on radio.
You can give us a call, 605-339-3874, or holtmcdowell.com, or the bat signal, which Rev likes to throw up every
there
once in
go.
A while.
There you go. I love the bat music. Guys, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Rocky Bohr, Plains Commerce Bank, Vice President of Ag, has joined us this morning. Rocky, we're talking about the importance of weather forecasting of storms and trends to your clientele. Would you say that it is important with all the places you are at Plains Commerce around South Dakota?
Oh, yes, it is very much. You don't have to go very far to find out how diversified our weather can be in this state.
Weather has been a concern with the coolness, with the heavy rain, severe weather. What are you hearing right now?
Well, right now, believe it or not, Bill, I'm hearing very little bit about anybody having to consider replanting any crops right now. I've been checking in with a few seed dealers, and they've had no calls yet or demand for replanting yet. So same with the insurance companies.
Sean Cable is with us from KSFY. If there was something that he could give you that weather people in Sioux Falls are not giving right now, what would it be?
Sure. One of the things I'd like to see is when they... at the start of each new month, or even at the start of a new quarter, kind of give us a 90-day outlook at the weather that's going on. I go out to the U.S. Weather Station and take their information down and see what we have coming at us. So,
and that's, I think Phil does a little something. He may not do the 90-day. I think he does the 30 or maybe the 60-day. But that's definitely something that we can do. Say, I've got a question for you, too. Have you had any reports of any serious damage? I know a lot of the crops, especially further north, haven't been out of the ground too far yet, and that growing point is still down far enough. But have you heard of any damage from the frost that we had last week?
Other than on some alfalfa, no. I have not heard anything of real severity yet, no.
Well, that's good to hear. I was a little concerned.
But those reports will really start to manifest and start coming this week now.
Yeah.
Risk protection for livestock feeders, one of the things we always talk about with planes.
Yeah, this is one of those years where I think people should show an interest in a product like that because, again, we sit in another volatile market. How long can we continue to push this price of beef as high as we're seeing it go right now?
Plains Commerce provides both the town and the country feel and the feel of a community bank that really cares.
That is right, Bill. We've worked hard at trying to maintain being responsible to the communities that we serve, be it either in Hovind, Aberdeen, Watertown, Condi, or down here in Sioux Falls, and now Luke and Roger and Mitchell.
Contact information, how they reach you at Plains Commerce Bank.
Sure, they can contact us through the website at plainscommerce.com or catch me at 605-275-2467.
Stay out of the rain, Rocky.
Thank you, Bill.
Rick Shields is our Midwest Communication Farm Director. Rick, good morning to you.
And good morning again, Bill. How are you?
We've been talking about the importance of meteorologists, journalists understanding the value of weather to those in agriculture. I think we have a young man that understands the importance being a farmer as well as a meteorologist.
Well, it sounds like you do, and you're lucky to have him.
Well, you know, it's I do a lot of work on the farm. I'd have to say my father-in-law is the real farmer, but I see the impact every single day, and it's the weather is one of the most important things.
Oh, that's right. Subsoil temperatures, things like that, very important.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick look at the news on the ag front.
All right, cattle on feed out Friday, showing a downward trend, the latest placements, marketings, on feed numbers, grocery store food prices up 0.5% in April, beef's up 3% last month. You don't see numbers like that normally in a year, but you saw them there, a 3% gain in 1 month. That puts them 11% ahead of a year ago. At this time. Now, one of the highest increases in history, that would be pork prices, about 10% over last year with a 3% gain in April. And again, they underlined the cause for the high beef prices, lower cattle inventory, you've heard about that already, lowest number of new calves entering the cattle supply stream, I think, since 1941, along with that, growing exports. And this means no price relief likely in the near term.
Later in the show, we're going to talk with the Secretary of Agriculture about the South Dakota trip to China. I know that you work with a lot of stations in our Midwest group around the Midwest. How important are those kind of trips to China and other locations in the world?
Critical. A one-to-one visit means somebody in China who may or may not have ever left home can now have a real connection. Well, that's important. It's person to person. It's better than government to government. And in some cases, ideology to ideology with this country, and specifically with our part of the country, too. So if you email now, you really know who you're talking to.
Rick Shields, our Midwest Communication Farm Director. We appreciate it. Sean Cable needs information from you, how to use you as a reference if he ever needs it in the future. great words from you. We appreciate you this morning.
You bet.
Thanks, Rick.
Take care.
Sean, we appreciate you. We know you got other things to do.
Well, I appreciate you having me. This has been great.
And if we need to talk farm again with weather, you'll come back?
I am in.
Maybe we talk to you in your combine or whatever you have.
Sure.
Later in the year. That could be a fun show to do.
That would be a lot of fun. Hey, thanks for having me.
You betcha. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about something that Raven is doing that you may not know about. All a part of our foreign trade, weather, all those things that are important on It's Your Agribusiness. Quite the show this morning. We've talked about weather, but now we're going to talk a little bit about a trading of ag products. The idea is with China. We have Rock Nelson, who has joined us this morning with an important guest from Raven. Rock, welcome back to the mics.
It's good to see you again, Bill. I appreciate your having me once again for the show.
Now, we have with us Ryan Molitor of Raven. He's the marketing manager of the Applied Technologies Division. And you have an acquisition. Did you have to give up a second baseman or shortstop to get the Netherlands?
It's a player to be named, probably.
You know, one of the things that I have followed with Raven with of interest is not only what you've done in Europe, but what you're also doing for field computers that give you a chance to pretty much command, control, and improve virtually every farming function with ease. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the best way to describe kind of what we do, as you see equipment out in the field, we don't make the iron, the tractor, or the planter, or the sprayer, but we make the technology that goes on that. So field computers are in the cab, and they're controlling all the functions of either a sprayer or the planter or an air seeder. We use GPS to auto-steer all the equipment. We have advanced planter controls that are controlling all the way down to each individual row on the planter. So we make all of that technology to make a grower's operation more efficient. They can grow more with less inputs. So there's some substantial cost savings that they can have by adopting some of that precision technology.
Why the Netherlands? Sounds like a utility player to me.
Yeah. So the Netherlands, we've had Raven products for our division are actually sold into 57 different countries today. And SBG is a company that we had worked with before. And they had some, or they have some technology that was kind of a gap in our product line. But then that also allows us to set up a European office. So we have a centrally located European headquarters now. So we can service and support our customers in Europe a lot better by having a location over there, as well as adding a new product to our line. So international growth for us is very important. There's a lot of opportunity internationally. So we talk about some of the technology that we're using here today and in different European markets. They're doing some of the same stuff. But as we look outside of that, China, for example, they're using technology that we maybe brought 20 years ago. And so we're also trying to educate people in other markets that are not as familiar with the technology at what it can do to help their operations.
Rock is the International Marketing Director of the Sioux Falls Development Foundation and the Chamber, and Director of the Small Business Development Center's International Trade Center. I still want to see that on a business card. How do you get that all on?
Just managed to squeeze it on.
With what we're talking about this morning, this international trade, people are saying, this is South Dakota. Why do we have international trade?
South Dakota, it's amazing to know our manufacturers produce and sell outside the country, and this includes Canada, which is our largest trading partner, followed by Mexico, China, and Korea. $1.7 billion in exported product to well over 150 countries throughout the world. And the better the product is that's made by the U.S., everybody throughout the world loves the U.S. manufactured quality product. And as they continue to strive to become more middle class oriented, they get more dollars in their pockets and they want to buy better products, naturally go to the U.S. And so it's our hard work ethic and the quality of products that we produce in South Dakota that puts us up in the main front as far as exporting our product throughout the world. And there's a lot of ag manufactured product going throughout the world.
We're going to talk more with Rock and with Ryan, and also check in with Lucas Lynch, our Secretary of Agriculture, on the China trip in the next half hour. Fox Business News is next on the half hour.
Hello.
Welcome back to It's Your Agribusiness. Sean Cable was in the house, KSFY. We talked the importance of weather in one of our segments this morning. We now are talking international trade. And one of the things that you may not know about is what Raven does. Ryan Molitor is with us, and he has kind of been giving us the feel as to what's going on. He's the marketing manager of Applied Technologies Division. Ryan, as I look at what Raven does, I see the Netherlands, I see all the things you're doing around the world, but if I'm a farmer, it's like, do I have to go to the Netherlands to get some of this help? Do you have a network here that people can, maybe with a GPS or any of the other things that you have, how do they get the help?
Yeah, you can always reach out to Raven directly. It's one of the nice things about our company is we'll answer the phone if a farmer wants to talk. You can come visit us at various trade shows throughout the year. Or you can reach out to anybody on our dealer network. The best place to find where our dealers are located at is on our website. So you can go to ravenprecision.com, and that'll give you a chance to learn more about our products, but also find a dealer that's close to you. So a grower can reach out to them and give that dealer a better feel for your operation, what you're looking for, and where our products can fit. Because our product line is so diverse, there's not a one approach to any operation.
You have an employee in China?
Yes, we do.
How do you interview for a position in China through Raven?
Yeah, so it's kind of a funny story. My boss, Michelle Lavallee, she went on the governor's trade mission last year, and I got an email from her in the middle of the night, and she said, hey, I found us an intern. His name's Parker. He's great. So he came over and spent the summer with us here to learn more about our products, our technology, and how they would be a fit over there. And so after Parker's internship was up, we hired him full-time, and now he lives full-time in China, and he's really focused on helping the various, you know, dealers over there and the people over there involved in agriculture, what precision ag technology is and how it can benefit them from just basic application control, so they know how much they're spraying on their food, auto steer for some of their equipment. As you can imagine, some of their equipment is different, but they also have a lot of equipment that's similar to what we have over here. So he's focused on educating and trying to educate that market on what's available and how it can make them more efficient.
People that don't know about Raven, how'd this all get started? Obviously had to start in a corner in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Yep.
But now you got a worldwide stage.
Mm-hmm. Our division started at Raven in the late 70s, so I think 1978. We introduced the first automatic spray rate controller. So that's how a lot of growers know us, is automatic rate control. So basically what they were able to do was bring technology that as the machine sped up and slowed down, we would make sure that it was applying the right amount of chemical. And from there, we've grown into GPS, auto steer, yield monitors, planter control systems, wireless and information data management capabilities. We've really grown to have a full line of precision products that a grower can use year-round in every phase of their operation.
Rock, how many Raven stories are there with an international stage that involved agriculture?
As far as stories involving agriculture, there are numerous stories, and I think it's important to know that there's only so much agricultural land within the world that can truly raise crops. And how can we maximize the production of those properties? How can we get the most out of it with controlling the input going into it? I think it's interesting that Ravens can control up to within 1 inch. Am I correct, Ryan?
Yeah, our RTK steering technology will steer the machine within less than an inch of the line.
And then also, I'm aware that you have people on the ground down in Brazil and that you've attended trade shows. What can you tell us about Brazil?
Brazil is a large growing market for Raven and a lot of agricultural companies. And they're far along the adoption curve, I'd say. So the technology for them, it's not new. They're using it. I believe they're the largest producer of soybean in the world. So, you know, Brazil is an emerging market for us. It's important that we're down, and they're pretty far along on the adoption curve as well.
Sure.
Ryan Molitor from Raven, along with Rock Nelson, International Marketing Director, Sioux Falls Development Foundation. We'll try to get back with you next week and talk with Steve Watson, who was on that trip to China.
This sounds like a winner. I'm looking forward to it.
Gentlemen, thank you. It's been a good discussion this morning. Keep us posted on what Raven is up to.
We'll do. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to check and see if we can get a local loan snapshot this morning from Craig Marquardt at Vanna Mortgage, Senior Loan Officer. Craig, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill Zortman. How are you?
Last of the weekend's being completed tonight with the 5:30 to 8:30 Parade of Homes. Tell us what you've heard.
Well, you know, I've heard of folks coming in from out of town just to look at the Parade of Homes, so I think it has quite the draw from neighboring communities and as far away as Rapid City, from what I've understood.
So with that in mind, 5:30 to 8:30 tonight, 76 homes. Do you have a loan snapshot this morning?
I do, and that way folks can get an idea of how much their payment will be on some of these houses that they're going out and visiting tonight. So mortgage rates are modestly higher. There's just a slight increase in rates, but they're still near the 11-month lows now. So the conventional Fannie Mae 30-year fixed rate is hovering in between 4.125 and 4.25%, Bill. And I will have to state that if anybody's going to be extending a rate lock to 45 or 60 days, 4.25% is the conventional Fannie Mae 30-year fixed rate with an APR of 4.443%.
18.7?
We always have an on-call mortgage banker, so they can call 275-2777, and they can visit with our on-call mortgage banker, which is Sean this week, and he can answer all of our listeners' questions, go with rate quotes, and even help get an application started.
Craig Marquardt, Advanta Mortgage, mortgage bankers you can count on. You have a good week.
You too. Thanks, Bill.
Scott Verilek, Coima Kamig Commodities over in Sioux Center. Good to have you with us this morning, Scott.
Yeah, good morning, Bill.
You know, we were talking about that weather bearing down on Iowa last week. You were in the middle of that bearing down.
Yeah, kind of. We were on the eastern or western edge of it, so I didn't get a lot of it here. But there was some pretty severe weather around, and I guess 'tis the season. We're all kind of wanting a little rain in this area, to be honest with you. It's kind of being a little dry right here.
Corn planting, expectations about 70% complete?
Yeah, looks like that's the numbers that the trade is expecting, 70 to 75% complete on the corn. And the beans should be maybe somewhere around 25%. So everything's on pace right with the five-year average with getting everything in. Corn has kind of been reacting to the downside on that news and a lot of old crop around in the Midwest anyway, but it's holding right at 474. That's kind of a number that I look at that it needs to hold. If it breaks that, chart's going to look rough. If we don't have any major problems, could be more downside risk there, but it's kind of at an area where it needs to put up or shut up here in my mind.
With our agriculture and meteorology friends this morning, we were talking about Twitter. And it's not always good information.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Twitter is definitely the new, you know, you can get some pretty good information on there, but you can also get some pretty bogus information. And I was kind of joking this morning, there's some dead corn plants that got froze off on Twitter, some pictures, and you can find those all year long. Guys, you know, some different farmers posting pictures of stuff that looks pretty bad, but on Twitter, you can find some trustworthy people to follow, and you kind of pick and choose, and you can get some information, too, the minute. It's kind of fun to follow, but definitely beware of that. So we know there's going to be some scares throughout the summer, and just use caution with that.
Now, Scott, you're over in Sioux Center. You got brokers that are very experienced at Coima Kamig. How do people reach you?
You know, if you want to give us a call, 800 number is going to be the best. That's most of the business that we do is over the phone. We've got five brokers here. Brad and Lauren founded this over, it's been about 30 years now. 1-800-358-3047.
Scott Verilek will have our commodities report 11:30 right here on Kello News Talk 1320-1079 and on the World Wide Web. Scott, we'll listen for you then.
Thanks, Bill.
Rob Lear has joined us this morning. He's going to update the events here in Sioux Falls Friday and Saturday, as well as visits in Aberdeen, Pierre, and Rapid City, Dakota Construction Careers. Rob, good morning to you.
Bill, happy Monday to you.
You know, in the Dakotas, we think of us having low unemployment rates. What kind of reaction did you get in traveling around South Dakota?
Well, we got kind of a mixed bag, and perhaps that is kind of emblematic of what's happening in your economy there. But this was a first-time event with this coalition of eight professional trades groups that were out to promote careers in construction. And we had a fabulous weekend in Sioux Falls. We had dozens of people through our doors over the weekend that were expressing an interest to learn more about the kinds of careers available in construction and the kinds of opportunities that exist. Our stops out west in Pierre and Rapid City were extremely slow. And we did not see the same kind of reaction out on the western South Dakota plains as we just experienced in Sioux Falls and Aberdeen.
DakotaConstructionCareers.com is the website. And again, you were talking about training, health, and retirement benefits.
That is correct. We were trying to introduce to the marketplace with the urgency of there is no lack of jobs, which is very unique to your economy and your marketplace. But there is some thought given, and we saw a lot of young 20-somethings through our doors this weekend that are trying to make decisions about whether they're going to go on to college, whether or not they are satisfied with where they are with a young position with some kind of a job. And these are for folks that, you know, find rewards in working with your hands. And we'll be back into your market. This was the first time at it, and we were very encouraged by the interest expressed in Sioux Falls.
Rob Lear, how did it compare, by the way, to North Dakota? Because you did that a little earlier in the month.
Well, we did. We started our campaign 12 weeks ago across North Dakota. And in truth, I would say that Sioux Falls ranked in the top third of our attendance, of people that came through trying to kick our tires to learn more about us. Fargo, Grand Forks, and Bismarck, we had a lot of activity. But Sioux Falls, not very far behind.
Rob Lear, we appreciate getting a report after your trips across the state. Dakota Construction Careers, the name. We'll talk to you soon.
Bill, thanks for the invitation to talk about. Thank you.
You bet. When we come back, we're going to visit with Secretary of Agriculture Lucas Lynch on his trip to China, and Matt Knipling on his trip to, I'm not sure where he went this weekend, but we'll check in with iGrow.org, all a part of agribusiness this morning.
CNR Supply has been a retail.
Matt Knipling, iGrow.org, is with us out at Brookings. Not sure where you spent the weekend, but it wasn't China, was it?
Nope. I just tried to stay around home, do a little yard work. So
what's on the calendar?
Well, you know, this week on iGrow.org, just a few of the articles and events that we have coming up. We're talking about spring perennial planting, when good times to get those in are. The frost and freeze damage to crops, and since we've had so much cold weather, what kind of the crops we're looking at. We're talking about the beef quality assurance and step to administer injections properly at the branding time. Early season weed control and cordon is vital, making sure you get all the corn you can. Planting your garden and for preserving your harvest and making sure you get the most out of your garden. Just a few of the events that we have are the Tri-County Ag Day coming up at the Cottonwood Field Station on May 27th. We're starting our extension wheat walks with one in Hayes, South Dakota on May 29th. A GPS and rocketry workshop put on by 4-H on May 31st. So those are just a few of the news and events that we're having on iGrow.org.
Matt Knipling, iGrow.org. We appreciate it. Next week we'll try to talk dairy.
That sounds good.
All right. Secretary of Agriculture Lucas Lynch has been on the road. He's been talking with staff this morning halfway around the world. You know what time it is?
You know, hey, Bill, good morning. You know, the internal clock is getting back on Central South Dakota time. So we made it back late Friday evening from China, and it's been a good weekend to kind of get returned around. As you can imagine, a 13-hour time zone difference definitely makes for a little bit of a lag phase.
We've got about 4 minutes to talk with you, so let's get into the trip itself, the third trip that's been made. What would you say the news lines were out of it?
You know, the absolute takeaways are that South Dakota is an ag-based economy, and the relationships that we can establish abroad are very important. And in South Dakota, people do business with people, and it's really no different in China. Our first day into China, we went up to Huhat, which is part of Inner Mongolia. There's the country of Mongolia, but then there's Inner Mongolia, which is a province of China. It's about six times the size of the state of South Dakota, with 25 million people, and it was pretty clear to us as a delegation, as well as to the leadership that assembled in Inner Mongolia, that the thought of pursuing a sister state relationship would be well received. And part of that is that with that ag-based economy, we were able to travel with some of our businesses in South Dakota. And when you can connect the dots from what we do in dairy development in our state, from the cheese factories that we have to the dairy cows that we've been trying to bring in state, and then all of a sudden we're in the middle of, you know, near Beijing with one of our dairy companies that sells milk fat into the market, and we're literally looking at product that was manufactured in South Dakota and is sold into China for the food industry. It, for me, it really connected the dots that relationships are what drive our trade and our commerce. And the opportunity for South Dakota is very tremendous. And what I mean by that is that population isn't slowing down. You know, 1.4 billion people is an incredible number. And when you look out of all of the soybeans in our country, not only South Dakota, but across the United States, one out of every four rows that are planted into soybeans now goes to China. That's how interconnected we are with their economy. And as we are the world's number one power, let's not kid ourselves, China is in the number two spot, and by GDP alone are doing tremendously well. And as you average that out and look at the per capita income is continuing to rise for the Chinese, and with that rising income comes an expectation of more animal protein in their diet. And so that means opportunity for us not only in food ingredients, but also in what we raise in beef cattle and pork production down the road.
Third trip, the other trips, how quickly did you get some results, or was it just ongoing because of relationships?
You know, the results are definitely there. We did have one of the companies that notified us that they landed $500,000 contract for product that they produce. Number two, when you go with a governor, and what's important about that, you know, in South Dakota and in the United States, we like government out of our lives. And I say that being in public service, I like to be in a spot where we're providing good quality service, but not in people's way or in business's way. Well, when you're in China, that it's a little bit of a different paradigm because they look at government as somebody that they trust. They work with government because it's very integrated into the business environment. And when we come with a governor, that opens up doors for our businesses because of the business relationship that we have. When we go abroad, the governor's able to open doors. We're able to be there as senior leaders and really being a partner for our businesses. And so third time over there, it's my fourth time into the region, and every time I go, I'm amazed at how it's really, once you get past the language barrier, and quite honestly, their English is very good. Because they've been teaching English as a second language for some time. Young children to adolescents to young professionals, all of them speak English, but they very much still speak Chinese.
Lucas Lynch, our Secretary of Agriculture, will talk again soon. We know that you're just catching up, staff just catching up. We'll talk at another opportunity.
Thanks, Bill. Talk to you soon.
Todd Neuberger, Edward Jones, joins us this morning. You didn't go to China this weekend, did you, Todd?
I did not, Bill. I'm smiling with some of the stuff that Lucas is talking about.
Amazing story.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Morning, everyone. Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones bringing you the daily financial market report. U.S. stocks are fluctuating as investors digest the latest corporate news announcement. AT&T and DirecTV are both lower this morning after AT&T launched a $48.5 billion takeover bid of the satellite TV operator, which is subject to regulatory and shareholder approval. Meanwhile, shares of AstraZeneca are down this morning after the company rejected a sweetened and final bid from rival Pfizer. In earning news, Campbell Soups reported quarterly earnings below expectations and lowered its 2014 guidance. Other notable companies such as Home Depot, Target, and Hewlett-Packard are going to report their earnings later this week. So far this morning in the S&P 500, the best performing sector is basic materials. The worst performing sector is utilities. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 7 points at 16,498. The S&P 500 index is up 2 at 1,880, and the NASDAQ is up 28 points at 4,118. Volume on the New York Exchange has traded about 154 million shares. Advancers are outnumbering decliners by a 2-to-1 margin. In commodity markets, gold is up $5 at $1,298. silver up 6 cents at 1943, and crude oil prices are up 58 cents at 102.60. In some stocks of local interest, Daktronix is up 39 cents at 13.99. Citigroup is trading at 46.63. Raven is up 47 cents at $30.68. Summit Hotel Properties is up a nickel at 9.48, and Meta Financial Bank is up 8 cents at $36. This is Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones, a member of the SIPC, serving individual investors with personalized attention, long-term financial advice in Sioux Falls, bringing you this Wall Street to Main Street report, Phil.
And Todd, when people need more information, how do they reach you?
Locally, 371-0375 or at todd.neuberger@edwardjones.com.
Todd, have a good week.
You guys too. Take care.
John is at Valentino's, 41st and Willow. The question we ask, are you ready to open the doors?
We sure are. We've got some open now and a few cars just waiting to come in.
Senior Monday.
It sure is.
You make it sound Mexican.
55 or older get 10% off of their grand Italian buffet all day here at Valentino's.
And again, it's the pizza, the pasta, the lasagna, the fried chicken. Still have three soups? It's going to warm up this week.
We still got three soups. It's getting, it hasn't warmed up that much yet, so we got to keep them out there.
For our last 40 seconds, Joy would want me to talk about the salads.
Yes, we do. We got one of the freshest salad bars in town, and one thing that makes it so good is we make just about everything right here on our salad bar. It's in the McCann. We make all of our dressings, except we let Dorothy make the French because nobody makes it like her. But we do put a secret ingredient in our Thousand Island. So.
All right. It's just really across the street from Shields, which opened up over the weekend to big numbers. 41st and Willow is Valentino's. John, you have a great week. We'll talk to you Friday.
Sounds good, Bill. Thanks.
Rev's rolling the music and saying pretty simply, Bill, your time's up. Thank you for yours.